GreatSuccess.com. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to learn from you today. And Lord, I pray that you visit everyone today. Let no one return back the same way. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise God. The topic remains Dream Big, partnering with God to fulfill destiny and live above the average life. I'm sure that we all want to live above the average life. We all want to live and fulfill our destinies and become what and who God has said we will be. That is exactly what this topic is about today. It's more of a build-up of the last series we just finished. So if you missed that series for any reason, please make sure you listen to it and you will be blessed indeed in Jesus' name. Let's understand that God's plan for us is big. We shouldn't be the one reducing the plan and purpose of God for our lives, because God has purposed, has planned to make sure that great things happen through our lives. If you check the Bible, God never gave anyone any small dream. It's always big. It's always great. That is exactly the plan and purpose of God for you and I to live beyond average. He said we are the light of the world. We are the city set on a hill that cannot be eaten. We are the salt of the earth. The moment a food lacks salt or a sweetener, you begin to know that, oh, something is missing in this food. That is exactly who God has made you and I to be in this world. To be the sweetener, to be the one who preserves and makes that difference. That without you and I, the whole world and the environment around us will be totally tasteless. So, the topic again is Dream Big, partnering with God to fulfill destiny and live above the average life. We are going to look at some terms, but before that, we are going to read the scriptures. Genesis 13:14 to 16. And it says, "And the Lord said unto Abraham, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward." That means don't leave any stones unturned. Don't say there's a particular place I'm not going to look at. For many of us, there are certain areas of our lives that you have said, you know what, whatever happens, happens. Or I don't care about that area. Or you are probably avoiding that area because you think, that area, I don't have any power over that area. It's whatever happens, happens. It's okay. You know, there are certain things that happen. You don't want that emotional trauma, in quotes, emotional problem. You just want to live life as it is. But God is telling you today, eastward, northward, southward, westward, every area around you, all around your life, he said, look today. He said, for all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if any man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants could be numbered. So God is saying, don't limit yourself. God is saying, don't create any limit he has not put above your life. Don't look even to the sky. The sky is not your limit. There is no limit to a child of God. So God is saying to you and I today, dream big. And guess what? Dreams are free. Do you know when we dream? Majorly, I'm talking about normal dream, is when we sleep. Which means it's not the time you're working. In fact, not most times, you don't control dreams you're going to have when you sleep. Dreams just come. They just come by themselves. So dreaming should not be hard work. It should just be the simplest work whatsoever. But the dream we are talking about today, I'm sure you know that it's not the dream you have when you sleep. It's the dream you have when you are not sleeping, when you are active, when you are consciously ready to partner with God to become what he has said about you and I. We're going to read another scripture, Ephesians 3:20 to 21. It says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Which means no matter what you think, in fact, I want us to take a moment and dream big right now. What is that area of life that feels so difficult to achieve? I want you to now dream, to think, to imagine greatness happening in that area. Is it in your business? Just imagine it. It's free. Imagine you controlling hundreds of billions of dollars in your lifetime. Imagine you in that career being at the very top that nobody like you has ever reached, maybe at your age. Imagine you becoming that preacher that nobody has ever been. Dream big. It is free. What is destiny? We're going to look at some terms today, and we take this as far as God will have us take it today. What is destiny? Because if you don't know the destiny we are going to fulfill, you may be thinking about something else. Remember, the subtopic says, partnering with God to fulfill destiny and live above the average life. So, what destiny are we actually talking about here? This is not talking about faith. That's F-A-T-E, not F-A-I-T-H. Faith, F-A-T-E. Faith is talking about the circumstances that are ahead of you that you cannot control, that you have no power to control. No, there is no faith, that's F-A-T-E, in the presence of a child of God. There is nothing like that. It doesn't exist. We only have destiny. And destiny, on the other hand, is just the blueprint or the design or the plan of God for you and I. So it's God laying down the step-by-step future he has created for you and I. That's his plan, his purpose. However, there is no guarantee that those things will come to pass if we don't partner with him. It requires a kind of partnership. And when you talk about the word partnership, which will bring us to the definition of partnership, it primarily means shared responsibility, which means you don't say partnership if it's only a one-man show. No, there is no partnership if it's only you and I. There is only partnership if there is another party, if there's someone else on the stage, if there's someone else to play. That is when we say partnership. So in this case, it is you and God working together to achieve the plan he has for you. Now let's see it this way. Based on my knowledge in construction, I know the first person that mostly talks to a client or someone who wants to build a house is the architect. And the architect shows them the dream, and then they begin to design and plan all these things out. God is that architect. God has designed everything. Or let me say, God is the one who has his desire. And by his spirit, the Holy Spirit, he has designed everything. He has created the masterpiece, the vision, the focus, how that future is going to look like. And that's what he shows us in visions. That's exactly what he shows us in his word. Any picture you have been able to capture in the pages of the scripture is what your vision can be like. Anything you see that you believe God is saying about you can become part of that big dream. So, that partnership means the one who designed it, the architect, and the builder in this case is you. You are the one building. You see several scriptures talking about us building on foundations that has been laid before. Now, God has designed it. He wants you to partner with him in building. And in this case, it's not just leaving you alone to design or to build upon the foundation or to build by yourself. He's also going to help you, but you will take the lead, so to say. You will have to follow his instructions step by step. Lay this block here. Lay that block there. You may not know the importance of that block you are laying, but if you follow his instructions, it will work out. In fact, on a construction field, do you know that most artisans, they don't have an idea of what the whole plan is? But if you tell them, do it this way, and they follow it that way, do it that way, and they do that thing. Now, arrange these iron bars this way, and they do it, everything will be good. But if everyone begins to do everything the way it feels he will, or he should do it, or feels like, then that's when you have building collapse. Because somebody thinks, no, I will do it my way, I will do it that way. That is why you and I must be careful in fulfilling destiny, that we don't do things our way. We don't do things the way we think it should be done, but the way God has said it should be done. So, partnership means there are two parties, at least two parties involved. Then what is the difference between living life and being alive? Remember, you have to be alive to even talk about dreaming big or fulfilling destiny. Being alive is the base level, is the basic thing that needs to happen. You need to be alive. I need to be alive to even talk about destiny or vision. So, you're being alive today. God has given you and I the opportunity to fulfill destiny. So, what we need to do is to make sure that our being alive is maximized to the level of living life. I need to live life. You need to live life. Now, this is the difference. You only need your breath to be alive. I only need my breath to be alive. If I can breathe, then I'm alive. I'm already qualified to be alive. I'm already alive. I mean, I can be described as being alive. But living life means that I am doing something with that breath I have. I am going out, I'm taking steps, I'm walking, I'm doing everything possible to make sure that my being alive has a meaning, has a purpose. So, living life is being intentional about what you permit in your life and what you release to your world. What you permit, because many things will want to come to your life. What are you going to permit? Then, what are you going to release to life? It's not only you playing the defense, just like football. You have to play the offense. In fact, results will come majorly by you playing the offense. By you saying, you know what, I need a goal for my team. I need a goal for my life. Playing the offense, going to the enemy's gate and taking over. That is exactly what we need to do. So if we are just sitting and waiting, then that means we are asking fate to happen, F-A-T to happen. But if we want to fulfill destiny, it requires living life, taking steps every single day and realizing that every second counts, every minute counts, every day that passes by is part of your destiny already going. So we all need to make sure we are living life. Then what is the other term we are defining today? The average life. What does it mean to be average? It means to be okay. If you ask somebody, how are you doing? And he says, I'm okay. That is the definition of average. But when somebody says, I'm fantastic. In fact, I just bought 2 houses. You know, that's not how to describe somebody who is okay. That's how to describe somebody who is making some progress in his life. How are you doing? I just started a new business. My business is moving. Clients are coming. People are coming. Then that is living life. That is not the average life. Average life is, oh, I just want to be okay. I want to be able to have enough money to buy a car, to build a house, to get married, to have children. Then what else? The question is, what else? People who have done all these things, they still don't find fulfillment. Fulfillment only comes when we fulfill destiny. When we do exactly what God has planned for our lives, there will always be a vacuum, a space that is not filled up until we begin to follow that purpose. And following that purpose is not enough. We also still need to dream big to the best version possible of the plan and purpose of God. Now, what are the hindrances to dreaming big? I think majorly the problem is not about having dreams or wishing or wondering. The main problem is about the hindrances that come along the way, the way of fulfilling purpose. That is exactly where the challenge comes from. What are those hindrances? What are those challenges that come? What are those problems? Why do we stop dreaming? Why do we stop wishing? Why do we stop looking at the plan and purpose of God for our lives? Why? Maybe I should even ask us today, why do you think people stop dreaming? Can we put it in the chat? Why do you think people get tired of dreaming? Okay, lack of focus. Distractions. Okay. Being short-sighted. Okay, mentally. Yes. Thank you so much. So, yes, you are all right. You are all right. I can't agree more. Lack of focus, distractions. That's why people stop dreaming. And distractions come in different ways. Distraction, maybe because of what people said or what happened and so many things. Or because other people are doing things the other way and you want to follow them to do it their way. So those things cause people not to dream anymore. Okay, thank you. So I'm just going to add to all the things we have written today and say the number one that I'm going to mention today, it doesn't mean it's the most important one, it's just number one on my list, is the jealousy of family and friends. Now, we saw that example in the life of Joseph. Something happens in families. And when I say family, it doesn't mean our immediate family alone or biological family. People around us, people that we consider family, that we consider friends, whether we like it or not, their expressions, what they think, what they feel, how they react to us matters a lot. We may act as if we are not bothered about it, but how many of us still have the pain of what our father said that still comes to our head? Maybe your dad just said something, made a remark, and this thing just stays there for years upon years. It happens. I mean, he said many positive things, but because he said one negative thing, that thing just stays in that brain. Joseph, for example, Joseph dreamed and saw this great thing that God has said about his life, and he gladly shared it with his family, and they got angry. We're going to look at the other step of this later, but they got angry, they got jealous. If it were to be some people, they will say, I'm not dreaming again. I'm not going to have that vision again. I can't tell them again. I don't believe in it again. But it didn't allow it to stop him. So, let us drop whatever thing somebody said years ago or currently, or somebody just said something casually. And the funniest thing is most times they don't even mean all these things. They just said it because they can't understand you. See it as them not understanding who you are, what God has said about you. This work is the work of partnership between you and God. Partnering with God to fulfill destiny and live above the average life. You can't listen to what anyone else says. Number two on my list is not having people believe in your dream, which is almost the same thing with the first one. Not having people believe in it. Somebody said, oh, I have this dream, and they're like, you better go and look for a job. How many of us have heard that before? People just said it randomly. Well, which nonsense are we talking about? Go and look for a real job. They said this kind of thing to people who are YouTubing, who are blogging. And now nobody says that anymore because some people decided to believe in their dreams, so to say. Now, one thing we should always understand is that it is never the responsibility of anyone else to believe in your dream for you. If you have anyone believe in it, fine. You are so blessed. You are so favored. But guess what? It is not their responsibility to believe in your dream for you. It is your sole responsibility. It is my sole responsibility. You've caught a vision of the kingdom, of ministry, of business, of career. Don't let anyone else talk you out of it. There was something I wanted to do a few months back, and I don't know what happened to me. I was discussing with some people, and somebody just made a negative comment. Guess what? And now I've not done it. I was trying to get advice from this set of people, and they talked it down. And since then, I've not even done it. That's why we should be careful who we share our dreams with, because they may talk it down. And it's also a caution for you and I. When people come to express their dreams to us, if you don't understand it, be careful not to say negative things about these things, except you see they are going the wrong direction that you can clearly see. But if you don't understand what they are saying, advise them normally, but don't say negative things. Not having people believe in our dreams can actually hinder us from dreaming. Not only that dream, even other dreams in the future. And that's where I want us to focus on. Because somebody said something negative years ago can affect some years to come, which we must be very careful about. If you saw the example of Joseph, the Bible said in Genesis 37:9 that, and Joseph dreamed yet another dream. And he said, this time I saw it this way. This time, remember, all things are passed away. All things have become new. You must always look for this time in your life. I must always look for this particular time. And what I mean by this time is, in quotes, this season. Whatever happened in the past has gone. What about this time? This particular time? That is exactly what we should focus on. So, failure of past dreams should not hinder us from the future. Now, that's the third thing. One of the things that hinder people from dreaming big is the failure of past dreams. You dreamed that you were going to become a pilot. Now you studied language or something so different from what... It's not as if there's anything wrong in studying language. What I'm saying is, it's different from your vision. How many of us wanted to study engineering that ended up in something else? We wanted to study one course and ended up in another thing, especially the Nigerian factor. But the failure of past dreams should not stop you from having new dreams. This is the way it is. God is not limited. Because something failed in time past doesn't mean that something should not work in this new season. No. So, we must be careful not to allow past failures to affect the current thing that God is doing. He said, forget the past. Behold, I will do a new thing. Shall it not spring forth? So, let not the old things hinder the new thing that God wants to do. Joseph dreamt yet another dream. Please go and read that verse. Genesis 37, 9. Let me read it. It says, then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time, not last time, this time, the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed to me. All the challenges that have hindered your family thus far can still bow to you. You can be the one who is different from everyone else. You can be the one who God is lifting. Don't let other things hinder you. Now, number four, looking on external circumstances instead of looking within. Peter in the Bible had a dream of walking on water because he just saw Jesus do it. He never could fathom that in his life. He never could dream about that in his life, which will take us to the next point we're going to have. However, this time around, we are talking about because of the storms, because of the wind, because of all the negative things happening, the things happening in the country, and it looks so hard. Let me tell you, the biggest things that I've ever achieved in my life have been easier than the smaller things. How many of us have ever heard ministers say that, especially Bishop D.B. Oyedepo? He said, the biggest projects we have are the easiest ones right now. The biggest things I've ever done in my life were the easiest things for me to do. Don't look at external circumstances. Instead, look within your deepest desires. The Bible says God will give you the desires of your heart. If you love God, if I love God, God will make sure the desires you have, the Holy Spirit, will make sure that the desires you have are always falling in line with the will of God. Or, it will make sure that now because your heart is in line with the will of God, all your desires that even look natural will come to pass. And look within. What exactly has God said about your life? What has God promised? What has God said? Look within your deepest desires. And not only that, the power of God within you. External circumstances are very good at discouraging you and I. They are very good at saying, you know what, don't do anything, just relax. But our job is to look within, to look at exactly what will I have done if there were no challenges. If you read the book, The Dream Seeds by Mike Murdock, one of the things he said there, and that book, God has used to change many lives. Most of the ministers you see today, I've been blessed by that tiny book. It's a very tiny book. I have it in my office. Very tiny book. Dream Seeds. One of the major things there is, what would you do if there were no hindrances? What would you attempt? Not only do now, what would you even try to do, attempt to do, if everything else was perfect? Some people will decide to go back to school. Then go back to school. Some people will decide to say, you know what? I'm going to start this new business. Then start the business. If everything were perfect, what would you do? So, don't look at external circumstances. Don't look at the storms around you. Look at God. Look at Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, and exactly what he has said to you. If Peter erred unto the word of God and not to the storms, he wouldn't be sinking. But even if you are sinking, remember to call on Jesus, because he will still save you. And number five today, not having a reference point, which brings us back to the story of Peter. Peter, he had no idea in the world that he could walk on water. But when he saw Jesus do it, something changed about his brain. Something changed about his mind. And he saw that possibility for the very first time. And this is where mentorship comes in. There are things you think are so difficult, And when you see people talk about that, this is easy, this is easy, this is what I did, and everything just met, and you see the possibility again. Reading books, looking at visiting places, going to places where excellence is in play, can just change something about you. There's this woman that has, I've forgotten the name of that business in Nigeria. She has this women clothes. And then she said she came to maybe the US, I forgot, maybe US or Canada or UK. She just came to that shop. She said she sat on the floor in front of that store. And you know, the security just came there. No, you can't be sitting on the floor. And she told them, see, I want to build something like this in Nigeria. I'm just sinking this into my brain. And they just left her. Because she was trying to picture that this is a possibility anywhere else. Bishop David Adebo said, when he got to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and saw, I think, Oral Roberts University, he said, this can happen anywhere. Has it not happened? Instead of one university, two universities have been built through that man. Anything is possible if we can only see a reference point. So don't try to do it alone on your own. Try to look for references. Read books about people who have accomplished the same thing you are trying to achieve. And lastly, one of the hindrances is age. Somebody says, I'm just too old for this. I can't start all over again. My age is this. Read the example of Caleb in the Bible. That should be Joshua 14, 12 to 15. Now, it says that Caleb said, I am 85 years today. Give me the mountain. What is that mountain standing before you? And you think you are too old? You are not too old. I know right now nobody I'm talking about is 85. So it is still a possibility for you. Abraham at 100 was still able to have that dream and say, I'm still going to have a child. 75 said, I'm still going to have a child. He left his father's house at 75. That is starting all over again from scratch at 75 when some people have given up. So the word is for you and I today. Don't think about your age. Anything can still happen. In fact, everything can still happen. All those dreams can still be accomplished because God is a God of many chances. He said he will restore to you the years. I want you to take this prophetically now. God said he will restore to you the years that the locust and cankerworm has eaten. Everything eaten by the enemy, God is saying he will restore them one by one. In fact, this time around, it will be faster. It will be faster. Not as slow as it should have been. Because now God is redeeming. He said, redeem the years. Redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Because of the redeeming power, everything will be faster this time around. Everything. Not one thing. Not some things. Everything. God says it will restore to you all the years. Not some of the years. All the years that the locust, the cankerworm has eaten. He said the one is sent, maybe because of your carelessness, but he's saying this time around he will restore the years. Remember, God is the one that sent the locust and the cankerworm, but he said, now I'm restoring everything. I'm restoring everything. And when God restores years, he does it with speed. The best example of this is somebody who's been waiting on God for a child for years, and they suddenly have quadruplets. What do you call that? Restoration of years. God is restoring your years in the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter how many people have gone ahead of you, all your mates that have gone ahead of you, God will restore the years to you in the name of Jesus. For everyone under the sound of my voice, God will restore the years to you in the name of Jesus. But it only requires one thing: partner with God. I should partner with God. It is shared responsibility. All you need to do is dream. All he needs to do is give you the dream. The next thing is to follow his plan. If he says, put a block here, put it there. Do it that way, do it that way. And as you do that, we all share testimonies together in the name of Jesus. And remember, dreaming doesn't have anything to do with where you are. All you need to do is focus on where God says you will be. And that's it. Forget about where you are. Don't look at the storms. Don't look at external circumstances. Look at God. Don't let anything distract you. Don't let anything take away your focus. Focus on God alone, and you will see God doing it faster than you can ever imagine. In Jesus' name, amen. That's the end of the episode today. We have just 1 minute for question. Do we have any question in the house today? Any question? Have you been blessed today?
Hello, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Thank you very much for that insightful session. Okay, so my question is, when you started, you gave an example of Joseph.
Yes.
Talking about how sharing our vision with other people can discourage us or make those things not come to be. And you shared the example of how Joseph shared his vision and how his siblings were angry at him and all of that.
Yes.
So I'm just bringing it to reality. Like Joseph, he shared it with his family and they were angry.
Yes.
Now, there was nothing he could do at that point, in the sense that he couldn't replace his family members. He couldn't just do away with them entirely. So if we are to ask for advice going forward, how do one rise above such situation, in the sense that these are your people, it could be blood, it could be close friends, but they don't just see the light in your vision? How do you grow past such? I don't know if you understand that.
Yes, I got
question,
it.
Sir.
Yeah, I got it. Well, praise God. God will help us to get the answers right. Okay, so in the example of Joseph, of Jesus, of David, see, I'm just mentioning those things. Even in Abraham, because if Lot believed in him, Lot would have probably behaved a different way, you know, differently than he behaved. When he just, hey, I saw the good land, let me take it, and you go and take the bad place. And we saw that example in David's life. David was already anointed, and people saw his brothers, he was anointed in the midst of his brothers. And yet, when it was coming to battle, you saw how they were just responding with resentment and anger and responding very funny. Another example is Moses. You saw the example of where Miriam and Aaron were just disrespecting him, telling that, hey, see, you are not the only one God calls. God calls all of us too. You are not the only one God speaks to. And yes, I mentioned Jesus. Remember when Jesus was going to go to the feast and he said, see, I'm not ready. And he started counseling him, started telling him, see, if you do all these things, then let other people see it. So it's been something that has been happening for years and years and ages. For family, friends, close people, people who are very close to us, not to see what God is doing in our lives. Maybe God did it that way, I don't know. However, if somebody has already shared with family, and they are showing resentment, there is nothing you can do about it. Just pretend as if you didn't share with them and keep on believing in your vision. That's number one. Then number two, if you have not shared something with them, you may as well not share with them. You may as well not. Except you are led. In fact, don't share with anyone. Remember the topic we did on the law of secrecy. Only share things that the Holy Spirit has permitted you to share. Because there are so many things about sharing things with other people. Most times when ideas and visions and dreams come to our mind, these things, they have not yet taken root. Sometimes they are just springing up. They are just like seed that even you don't understand. So the moment you talk to people about it, sometimes it's almost like, I don't know if you've ever gone to the farm and you plant something. You don't go there if you plant corn and then begin to scatter the sand. That's what there's this particular bird. When you plant corn, it will go to that farm and then begin to scatter the whole heap of sand and scatter it and eat the corn. So they put a scarce crow in the farm so that the birds will not come there, so that the birds will feel human beings are there. So now, when we begin to open up that dream to everyone, that's exactly what we are doing, because that dream has not even taken root in our own hearts. Not to talk of telling people. The people you should tell are people who are, number one, people who have the capacity to give you an advice, and spiritually choose those people. Don't choose by sentiment. Number two, only share, like I said, if you are led. Share with people who are going to fulfill that dream with you. That's number two. Only share with people who are going to fulfill that dream with you. That God has led you, that these are going to fulfill that dream. Because if God has led you to them, they will definitely say yes. Well, human beings have their own mind. They may not say yes, of course. But normally, they should say yes. So those are the people you can share with. Any other person, you have to be very careful about sharing, because at the beginning, this dream is just a dream. You have no proof, you have nothing to show that it should be there, or it's real, or it's from God. Only results prove it to people. So when it comes to family, we should just know that the job of our family is not to agree with us when it comes to our dream and vision. No, they are just family. They don't care. What I mean by they don't care is this: because you succeed doesn't make them more of a family, or because someone fails doesn't make them more of a family. They are just family. The Bible says a brother is there for the day of adversity. When issues happen, your people, your brothers, your friends, people around you will be there. Positive things, they will be there. Negative things, they will be there. So they are not moved by your success, or God forbid, by someone's failure. No, they are just moved because they are related. So that's why we should never expect too much from them when it comes to visions. So whether you succeed, they are still brothers and sisters. If someone doesn't do that, they will still come and be brothers and sisters. So once we understand that, we will never, number one, be angry with our family and friends if they don't believe in what we are doing. That's number one. We won't expect too much from them. And if they now show interest, fine, that means you are super blessed. And then enjoy it. So that's it. If somebody were to advise Joseph, what would you tell him? Don't talk about your dream, because it landed you in problem over and over again, and you almost lost the dream. So you can see that even Mary in the Bible, they said when the priest told him about Jesus, the Bible said she kept these things in her heart, and she was able to avoid a lot of problems. Because if she was telling everybody, maybe Herod would have found out where Jesus was. But she kept them in her heart. And when the dream was coming out, nobody could stop the dream again. It was just obvious that this is what God said. So I hope that has been helpful in any way.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I get you, sir.
All right.
Thank you very much, sir.
Yeah, praise God. So that will be the end of the episode today. Let's thank God. Father, we thank you for the episode today. Thank you for being a blessing to us, for sending your word. Glory be to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray that for every one of us who have probably given up on some dreams or visions in our lives, Father, I pray that you release fresh grace for us to be able to see the plan and purpose that you have for us, to dream bigger than what we can ever imagine or think, not to limit your power in our lives, or to limit the power you have put within us, in Jesus' name. Amen. So shall it be, in Jesus' name. See you very soon, and see you all at the top, fulfilling your big dreams and all the things that God has laid in your heart, in Jesus' name. Amen. See you next week as we take another topic. God bless you.
The good success has come.